I want you to imagine the scene that we just heard read in the gospel. Jesus has just come up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Tomorrow he will enter the city in a procession that later will be remembered as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Riding a donkey, he will be proclaimed a king by the people. There will be shouts of praise and a waving of palms. But tonight, he and his disciples decide to spend time in Bethany, at the home of his beloved cousins, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. A dinner has been prepared for the occasion, and we can only imagine the lively conversation that might have ensued as that which often takes place when family and close friends come together. And as the evening wears on, Mary gets up, goes into another room, and returns holding a jar of perfume. She kneels down at the feet of Jesus and opens the jar up. The aroma fills the room with its fragrance. The pungent scent of oil mixed with frankincense and myrrh, cinnamon, and cardamom. Perfume that is used to anoint the body of a deceased loved one. And Mary bathes Jesus' feet with a costly ointment and massaging it with her hair. It's an extravagant gift. It's a gift of love that speaks of a devotion that comes from one heart to another. Last week, we heard another such story of the gift of extravagant love. In that case, poured out by a father when his prodigal son returned home. Once lost and suddenly found, deemed dead and returned alive, the wayward son had been given new life. The telling of that story moved us to ponder the extravagant love of God, our Father, and how that love is poured out upon us, God's beloved children. But now we are witness to an act of extravagant love that comes in response to another kind of resurrection. A few weeks earlier, Jesus had come to this very same house on a different mission. That time in response to the news that Lazarus, Mary's brother, was dead. Moved by the death of his beloved cousin and the grief of his family, a weeping Jesus entered the tomb and brought Lazarus back to life. For Mary, who once thought her brother dead, knew Jesus as the one who had given her brother back to her, had given Lazarus, who was dead, back to her alive. It was a gift of such magnificence that Mary's only response could be one that expressed extravagant love and devotion. Thinking back to last week's parable, the contrast between Mary's effusive joy in getting her brother back and the older brother's resentment at his younger brother's return should not be lost on us. Whereas the older brother of the prodigal cannot accept a father's extravagant gift of new life, Mary not only accepts it, but is moved to return the favor by offering an act of extravagant love in response. In doing so, Mary becomes for us and for John the model disciple. recognizing the blessing that comes to her through God's presence in her life, and then responding in an act of gracious, excessive, and exuberant love. And that is the model that Mary provides for each of us. Take a moment to think about Mary's response. And ask yourselves, how has God changed your life? Or perhaps, how has God given you new life? And as the receiver of such a generous gift from God, how do you respond? With extravagance? Or with casualness? In my years as priest, I've come to realize that how we respond to God's gracious love takes on many forms, from the simple to the dramatic. But one that has been very meaningful to me occurred early on in my ministry when I had the privilege of getting to know a hospice nurse and deacon in the Episcopal Church. She was suffering from the early stages of MS, and yet did not seem to daunt her at all. She had a way of seeing each day as a blessing and translated that awareness into the care that she showed for her clients. And though she was a blessing to many, bringing many families through the pain and wondrous moments of having a family member on hospice, she would tell you that each family she worked with gave her so much more than what she gave back. That those relationships became a constant blessing for her. And that sentiment and her role as an RN inspired her on occasion to wash the body of a client who had died as preparation for the burial. And she imagined this as a parting gift of love for the life-giving love that she had received during her time with the client and the client's family. A way of giving thanks for the blessings that she had received from that relationship. Now, perhaps it was just a simple act of care, but many of us saw it as an extravagant gift of love from someone who knew God's love in her life and responded by offering that love in return, by giving her clients the simple gift of devotion. And it became a reminder to me that extravagant gifts often come in the guise of such simple things as caring for one another. Perhaps the real extravagance in our gospel story this morning is not so much the perfumed oil that Mary used, but the love and devotion that she showed in gratitude for what God had given her, the life of her brother. And such is her witness to God's presence in her life and in the world. Our story ends not knowing what comes next. But we know what happens next. When Jesus awakes the next morning, he will go to Jerusalem, get on a donkey, and ride into the city. He will be hailed as the one who is to come, the King of Israel, with shouts of Hosanna in the highest. Yet the exuberance of the crowd will slowly diminish over the ensuing days and give rise to the wrath of the religious and political authorities, leading Jesus ultimately not being hailed as king, but being arrested, tried, and crucified as an insurrectionist. God's glory as revealed in Jesus will seem to be muted by human arrogance and greed. Those in power will silence him on the cross, or so they believe. Mary's anointing of Jesus on the night before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, however, will be seen as a prophetic act, an act in which she prepares him for his death and burial, something no one else but she seems to grasp. And yet, in the Gospel of John, something deeper is going on here as well. The Gospel of John, more than any other of the Gospels, sees Jesus as the Word of God, the very incarnation of God, the one through whom God's glory is revealed to the world. And God's glory will be revealed to the world on the cross. In spite of what the world may do, out of death, new life bursts forth. Ironically, Mary, in anointing Jesus for his burial, is anointing him for his real purpose, to be King and Lord of all, the source of new life and victor over death. The cross ultimately becomes for us Jesus' extravagant gift for the world. It is a gift that inspires a response from people of faith. We read this morning how Mary offered her response. And the only question that is left is one for us. How will each of us respond to that gift which is offered us, that gift which is extravagant beyond measure? How do we respond to God's gift of love? Amen.